540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Breaking news from Iran. Multiple sources tell CBS News five freed Iranian-American prisoners have just left the country in a Qatari airplane. They're expected to make a stop in Doha on their way back to the U.S. And two Iranian detainees have landed in Doha for transfer to Tehran. Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent Margaret Brennan.
Biden administration officials described the five Iranians who would be released as nonviolent offenders who mainly violated sanctions. And I spoke with one of them who is remaining here in the U.S., Kaveh Lotfallah Afrasiabi, a political scientist charged with acting as an unregistered foreign agent. He is a U.S. permanent resident and tells CBS News he'll remain living in Massachusetts.
Cost of their freedom, a Biden administration brokered deal that unfroze $6 billion in Iranian funds held in South Korea. It's day four of the United Auto Workers strike and the fallout's underway. CBS's Chris Van Cleve is at the picket line outside the Ford plant in Wayne, Michigan.
General Motors says it expects to have to idle a plant in Kansas due to the strike as soon as today. And in the coming hours, the UAW and Jeep parent Stellantis are set to resume negotiations after the union rejected the company's latest offer.
Ford is blaming 600 new layoffs on the strike. Police in Pennsylvania say nine teenagers who escaped from a juvenile detention center northwest of Philly have been captured. CBS Philadelphia's Tim Jimenez.
And close to 6 in the morning, State Police Trooper Dave Bame says four of the teens went over to a house about 4 miles away.
Basically banged on the door. They were done. They were tired. They were cold. We went there, took them into custody.
Then close to an hour later, police got a call about a stolen pickup truck in that same area. There was a brief chase, and police eventually arrested the rest of the teens.
A 1942 letter unearthed in the Vatican's archive shows that despite his claims to the contrary, Pope Pius was well aware Jews were being gassed in occupied Poland during the Holocaust. Vicky Barker's at the Foreign Desk.
In it, a German Jesuit writing to the Pope's private secretary reveals 6,000 people, above all Poles and Jews, were dying every day in, quote, SS furnaces.
U.S. News and World Report out with its annual list of the country's top colleges. This time, CEO Eric Gertler says it's a little different.
We have put increased weight on a school's success in graduating students from different backgrounds with manageable debt.
More than a dozen public universities climbed at least 50 spots in the rankings, among them Fresno State and Florida Atlantic. Princeton tops the list, MIT number two. Harvard and Stanford tie for third. S&P futures down 3. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The man that took off from the Kenosha Correctional Facility Friday may have gone to Milwaukee. 45-year-old inmate Abram Jefferson is described as black, 6 foot tall, weighing 216, with black hair and brown eyes. Jefferson had been serving a 3-year sentence for domestic violence. He was transferred to the Kenosha Correctional Center from the Dodge Correctional Institution in July. The noise in Franklin isn't going away. People in the area are upset following the recent Tacos and Tequila Festival held at Franklin Field Saturday night. People living nearby are reporting that the noise levels were excessively high, and the approximately 10,000-strong crowd was unruly. Neighbors say the situation isn't new, and that they've mentioned they've submitted numerous complaints over the course of several years about the noise. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, That's design.garden.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Mondays. That means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. How you doing, Sandy?
Well, I'm doing all right. Here we are, middle of September now. You know?
Yeah.
Just four more days, and we're into autumn.
Yeah, but we're going to have 80s. For, I think, starting Tuesday or Wednesday for four straight days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we'll get a reprieve. Let me ask you, let's begin here. A couple months ago, Sandy, and maybe even not that long ago, they were talking about a government shutdown, and you were saying on these airwaves that, you know.
Theater, I called it.
Theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we're back there again, and only this time, Sandy, doesn't look like it's going to be theater.
Well, you know, good theater is suspenseful, and everyone thinks that. I continue to think that the strident right Republicans don't really want to sully themselves with the problems that would be associated with a shutdown in terms of the economic issues and the apparent irresponsibility of it. I mean, they do have to stand for re-election, and maybe their electorate is highly conservative, but I'd be surprised if that was a popular position.
Well, according to a gentleman named Brian Darling in The Hill this morning, he believes a good old government shutdown is exactly what is needed right now. And he thinks that the Republicans would do themselves a favor because of the continued deficit that continues to build. It is likely that the federal government will shut down at the end of this month. He didn't say unlikely. Like, Republicans need to game out the post-shutdown battle to figure out the most acceptable landing spot on appropriations for this fiscal year. Although the House Freedom Caucus will not get all it wants, its members are fighting a just battle that will put downward pressure on the level of spending in any final appropriations bill. As a preliminary matter, this is a good fight to have, good politically and good for the nation. Our federal government is projected to run up between $1.5 and $2 trillion in debt this year alone. The Congressional Budget Office projects that outlays this year will be $6.4 trillion with only $4.8 trillion in revenues. To put it in perspective, outlays were only $3.5 trillion 10 years ago. And I was using billion before, it should have been trillion. 10 years ago, spending breached $6 trillion in 2020 COVID-19 spending binge, and it has never returned to
let's just normal
pre-COVID levels.
That kind of talk ignores the tax reductions that contributed to the revenue deficit, okay? That the the Republican and Trump tax reduction. That kind of rhetoric won't fly that well when Donald Trump is, if he's the candidate, because the deficits during his tenure were immense, okay? And they were immense during a period of very high economic growth. So that's all theater, okay? That's the way Washington talks. That's the way the conservatives talk, but it's not the way they behave. And yes, our national debt as a percentage and at the deficits as a percentage of our GDP have grown dramatically and are becoming a problem. And there, we do need to do something about it. But a government shutdown is not the way to carry out the negotiation. If the House of Representatives was truly interested in working on expenditures, they would negotiate on the budget. But instead, they don't negotiate on the budget. They wait till they have this kind of a hammer, and then they have theater. And, you know, if they carry forward on this theater, my prediction is that, like I said about the abortion issue, the dog will catch the dog will catch the car. And when dog catches car, they don't know what to do with it, and it isn't always a good outcome.
You know, Sandy, they clearly have talked about the House that they've got a temporary measure that will carry them through October. But what sense does it make to just do, well, we've got here, we can put it off for another month?
Well, that's the theater. That's the curtain call. That's the, you know, that's just keeping it out there, hanging forward. It's the carrot on the end of the visor of the hat. That's Washington. Washington kicks the can.
But they
want to keep this because this is a presidential year, and everyone knows that election years breed crazy theater. That's what election years are about. So our problem in America is that our election cycle has become 2 years long. So a president gets elected, whatever is going to happen happens in the first 2 years, and after that, it's all funny business.
So, Sandy, let's say that the Republicans go through with this charade, and it becomes a reality, and they shut down the government. There is blood to pay for that, right?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, recessions come based on unforeseen circumstances. We have a strike, the automobile strike. We don't know how long that'll last. We don't know whether strikes will spread to other parts of the economy. Government shutdown. You know, every time we do this theater, it affects the financial ratings of the United States. Essentially, the dollar becomes a little less stable. You know, the dollar's at risk internationally, it being the international currency. I mean, it's not currently at risk, but there's certainly forces at work trying to put it at risk, and there's plenty of rationale for other countries to try and jump off the dollar as their prime currency. So all of this kind of conduct just plays into all of these kinds of risks: risk of recession, risk of dollar volatility, risk of international suspicion. You know, America needs to kind of get its act together.
So let me ask you, Sandy, if based on all of the things that go into the budget, Republicans want to see a lot of things cut that kind of help people in this country, Americans who struggle. They think that that's, we can let those things go after all, people, you know, if they struggle, that's on them, and they should be able to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. That's basically, I guess, what Republicans are saying. So we're going to cut these kinds of programs. Those things aren't going to change the totality of what's wrong with the budget, are they?
No, I mean, when you start tweaking at the edge of, you know, I think you started a couple of years ago, there was an analysis done of what it would take to reduce the level of deficit by a material amount, and the size of the cuts to the kind of programs we're talking about were in the 15-20% range, and that wasn't even to balance the budget. And so, you know, first of all, it's totally irresponsible to have this conversation without talking about the revenue side, without talking about revising taxes. And I'm sort of sorry to see that even the Democrats are reluctant to talk about this. And when they talk about it, it's faintly okay. They don't really talk about doing things that would materially affect the revenue side for the United States Treasury. But clearly, revenue is an issue. And, you know, you can cut things to the bone. Businesses that are failing cut costs, but if they don't go into marketing and start marketing their product and selling more, all they're doing is getting into a death spiral. And so the United States has to think the same way. We've got to do things to enhance our revenue, trickle down this promise, kind of like promising people they'll go to heaven. This promise that cutting taxes would improve the economy and improve revenues was false.
You know, Sandy, you're right. Nobody is really talking about that part of it. And if you count all the tax breaks and cuts that have been had over the last 30 years, that's kind of where we kind of got to this point, right?
Well, it certainly contributed to it.
And the increase in the military spending.
Yeah, it's the military budget, which is essentially almost tripled in 30 years. And without real cause, as far as I can tell. I mean, the war against terror apparently was the precipitator for it. And now we have just sword rattling ongoing. But, and we always talk about corporate taxes. Well, corporate taxes could make a difference. But what we really ought to be doing is talking about the people in this, the parts of this country that have revenue that are not being taxed highly. You know what, who those are? Those are wealthy people.
You know, Sandy, I think.
And we do not have wealthy people leaving America to go to lower tax places around the world. There aren't many lower tax places for wealthy people to go. In fact, I've never seen an analysis about what a wealthy individual could expect to pay in taxes and what their estate might pay in taxes. But I suspect that America is at the very lowest end of major developed countries. You might be able to go to some tax haven island, the Caymans or someplace, and have a nifty tax deal that is better than living in the United States. But those islands would get pretty crowded if everyone decided to go there.
Listen, we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. You can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. We'll be back.
Did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry. Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 69. North winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. 51 tonight, cloudy skies, overcast tomorrow, slight chance for scattered rain showers, high temperatures reach up to 69. Turning warmer Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the upper 70s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Monday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. Can you hear me today?
Yes.
Okay, you weren't able to hear me on Friday.
No, no, no. I think you weren't able to hear us was the deal.
But today is Monday.
I could hear you.
Okay, CJ. So, all right, today is Monday. The conversation is about whether or not the Republicans want to see, you know, the government shut down. And Sandy was pointing out some reasons why it didn't have to be shut down or it doesn't have to be shut down. Your thoughts?
Well, at what point is your party going to realize we're approaching $100,000 for every man, woman, and baby owed to the government? Social Security is going to go in the red 2033. Mandatory 25% Social Security cut.
CJ, look, I think all that data is accurate. The only part that wasn't accurate is when is your party going to realize, because you realize the size of the deficits that were experienced during the Trump years, right? I mean, you realize what a percentage of the total national debt was incurred just in 4 years during the Trump years, and that there was a tax reduction that was enacted in the face of large deficits that produced even larger deficits. So, you know, the tax cuts are a subsidy in the same manner that government expenditures are. If you decide to cut people's taxes in the face of deficits, you're essentially providing a subsidy to the people whose taxes you're cutting because it's coming out of a deficit. The government is essentially granting someone the opportunity to pay less taxes so that there will be a bigger deficit. So, I mean, you know, we have this folly in our discussion about economics, in which we treat tax reductions, the depletion allowance for oil, the various tax breaks that we give to various parties out there. We don't call them subsidies, but they are in fact subsidies. So, you know, the only part I want to take issue with is, and if you look at over the past history, under what administrations have we incurred bigger portions of our national debt, Republicans or Democrats, I'm afraid that the Republicans lose that contest.
Can I refute everything that you just said? Yes. Because the mere fact that taxes, reducing taxes, can be proved during Jimmy Carter, the worst president before this one, were reduced by Ronald Reagan with reducing the marginal tax rate, and revenues increased to the Treasury.
Well, I think
the Democrat Party spent. Can I respond?
I don't want you to proceed with wrong information, because all of the analysis by experts have suggested that the revenue was not increased in that way, and that the whole concept of trickle down, which you're now trying to substantiate, is just hooey. That it's never been experienced as the result of the tax reductions. What did happen during the Reagan administration was that Volcker, the head of the Federal Reserve, stifled inflation. And with the stifling of inflation came an improved economy.
I can refute everything you said if you quit turning my mic off. But the mere fact is that this president, inflation is because of the spending. It's down to 3%, but added on to the 9.5% last year. So costs are up 16%. Reducing the taxes can increase the savings that Biden says that he did on our debt is replacing the Trump tax cut. But the Trump tax cut would have had a net increase to the Treasury.
How do you know that? I mean, the fact is that it didn't happen, and how can you say that it would when I would like you to bring in or bring to us and cite not just one, but maybe five articles or five kind of academically analyzed reports that suggest that trickle down being the notion that tax reductions improve national revenue because of the extent to which they improve the economy, that has in fact occurred.
Well, what I do know is that once Ronald Reagan came into office, we were the largest creditor nation in the world. When he left, we were the highest debtor nation in the world. If what you say is accurate, how did that possibly happen, CJ, during Ronald Reagan's time?
Revenues increased. Revenues to the Treasury increased. And the mere fact that you guys, you know, again, Biden taught that he reduced the deficit by 2 million. No, he ended the Trump tax cut. That's the number that's used. Let me finish for 1 second. Because at
listen. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. Sandy Williams is here. We'll be right back. So he's throwing out.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. A senior Biden administration official says five freed Iranian Americans and two family members have flown out of Tehran on a Qatar Airways flight. Correspondent Cami McCormick.
The five will be flown from Doha to Washington, D.C., part of a complex deal with Iran that allowed for $6 billion in Iranian assets to be transferred from a restricted account in South Korea to Qatar. Five Iranians in the U.S. will be granted freedom, some of whom were not convicted.
critics are lining up, among them Jamil Jafur at the National Security Institute.
What, in my view, should have been done is put additional pressure on the Iranian government to force them to release these citizens, not simply to pay them off with billions of dollars and a trade prisoner for prisoner.
Tensions expected to remain high between the two countries, which are locked in several disputes, including one over Tehran's nuclear program. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Waukesha's new water isn't flowing today. Officials announced late last week that October 9th is the new target date, after initially thinking it could happen this week. The delay will allow for testing, reservoir flushing, and fixing programming problems with water pumps. The transition, once it starts, may lead to temporary water discoloration in specific areas. While the Brewers are gearing up for a playoff campaign, they're also looking to fix up American Family Field. During Saturday's game against the Nationals, the roof started to leak. Rain came in through the right field bleachers and the visitors' bullpen. We could learn today about the funding for the repairs to the ballpark. Right now, the projected cost for renovations is $428 million. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
I'm Pro Football Hall of Famer Leroy Butler. And Mind and Money from Educators Credit Union is a game changer for me and my family. We can reward my son for good grades, assign chores, teach him real-world financial lessons, and more, all right from our phones or computer. He can even have his own debit card, which he can track earnings and spending. Learn more about this free tool at ecu.com. Federally insured by the NCUA.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
All of these things consistently come down to this: willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, we got to continue with this discussion, even though there were some other things, because, you know, CJ throws out a lot of different things that he claims are facts.
Well, I mean, the fact is that the revenue to the national treasury has continued to grow over time, and it's grown after tax cuts as well. But it would have grown more without the tax cut. And we have what we have to measure, and what we are measuring here is the difference between revenue and expenditures. And you can cut expenditures to cut that gap, or you can increase revenues to cut that gap. And unfortunately, there's this political instinct, which is kind of like promise them everything which is that the promise that we can cut revenue by cutting taxes, making you all happy, and it'll increase revenue because the economy will thrive so much that the people who continue to pay taxes will pay more taxes as the result of the improved economy. Well, Trump took a hot economy and cut taxes. And did that cut in taxes potentially boost the economy some? Well, it's hard to tell because you would be throwing accelerant onto a fire. And it's not clear the extent to which the tax reduction did anything more than increase the amount of cash available to a bunch of folks, which resulted in very large stock buybacks and things that are not necessarily stimulating to the economy or necessarily very stimulating to the amount of revenue realized in the revenue war chest of the Treasury. So we just looked it up during the break. Trump increased the national debt by $7.8 trillion during his 4 years. That was the most of any modern president other than George W. Bush, George II, who was fighting a war during his time period, or the other in real dollars, Abraham Lincoln, who had the Civil War, which was obviously going to be a huge tax on the national treasury. So Trump did this because he had a tax cut, and then they enacted the COVID stimulation bills. But without the tax cut, the revenues would have been greater. And people can always say, yeah, but, you know, without the tax cut, maybe we would have had a recession. Well, I don't think there's any evidence to support that. And the tax cuts were quite focused and not necessarily focused on people who spend their money. Okay. If taxes are reduced to people who spend their money, consumption in the economy goes up. If taxes are reduced for people who are saving their money and investing it in capital, then the cost of capital goes down possibly, but it isn't necessarily stimulating the economy in any direct sort of sense. And so the fallacy of trickle down has been there to be analyzed since the Reagan years. And people might keep wanting to come back and say, yeah, but the fact is that when you do a careful factual analysis, when you apply computer logic to it and look for correlations, the fact is that it appears that trickle down is a fallacy, but it's a very tempting one and a very seductive one because it promises people that they'll pay fewer taxes and we will get more revenue. It's kind of like the promise of turning lead into gold.
Fool's gold. You know, Sandy, part of this is, and this very same man, Donald Trump, running for president now, is proposing a 15% tax on corporations and to cut taxes even more.
Right.
If he's reelected president, he's going to cut taxes even more at a time that we're talking about these deficits, Sandy. And so, I mean, people need to wake up, right? I mean, if we're talking about the national debt and you bring Trump back and he adds another major tax cut, cutting the small programs that help the citizens, it's not going to be the answer to that, is it?
Well, it isn't. And if we want to improve the economy in the long run, we will invest in our youth. We will invest in child daycare and we will invest in education and we'll spend the money necessary to make sure that it's working and working well, because that's the economy of the future, not tax cuts to baby boomers today who have accumulated huge amounts of wealth. That's just buying favors. That's not investing in the future. And so my concern, and I think the concern of people like Mitt Romney and others who are now backing out of politics, is that we aren't focusing on investing in the future. We aren't focusing on analyzing how and where we spend money and what we ought to do to make America better than it is today. Great as it is, you know, people.
Right.
I don't want people to think I'm attacking America. It's a wonderful place. It's not as wonderful as it could be. And it's not, there's the gap between how wonderful it is and how wonderful it could be for the people at median income and below is too big. And that's the group that we need to focus on.
You know, Sandy, to continue to hear, because at the root of this conversation is the fact that Republicans want the government to be shut down. There's a segment of Republicans that think that the only way to fix this right now is to shut down the government and for small these programs that assist people to be shut down because we can no longer afford it.
I mean, I think the vision of people is that the government is this hungry beast that is just sucking food, sucking the air out of America, and what we need to do is shut it down so that it can stop doing this. When in fact, the whole principle of government is that we send money to the government so it can turn around and do the things that are necessary for the welfare of the people. And that's what a good portion of the money that is spent by the government is spent on. We do spend a huge amount of money on something that is much more tangentially related to welfare, which is defense. And our defense budget is immense, way immense. I mean, it's so disproportionate as to be unmatched in any, you know, we spend more than I think the 12 next, maybe even more than the next 12
combined.
Next combined.
I
and
know.
That includes China and Russia and all these people that we are talking about being huge threats to us, and yet we are spending so much more than they are.
Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Thank you guys for having so much patience to put CJ on. CJ is such an interesting person. I love to hear him talk because I can tell he listens to the number one news organization that's been sued countless times for misinformation. It just goes with the territory, and he just spews that out. What he doesn't comprehend with Ronald Reagan is, remember the famous line from when Ronald Reagan was finished doing his economic recovery? Read my lips. No new taxes. Well, bang, we had to have them because Ron Reagan drove us out of it with his trickle-down concept. But yet, CJ clings to that because CJ does not like America, period. He likes America only if Trump and the Republicans have this anarchy grip on our society. But people like CJ, is the people we're going to be facing in the ballot box. But we have to understand how they reason. CJ reasons on a one thing. He's been taught to be afraid. Be afraid of America. Be afraid of your government. They're all coming to get you, CJ. Well, wake up and smell the roses. Someday on an open mic, I'd love to debate that guy.
Well,
I just love to debate him.
Well, you know, I don't know how you're going to debate him. You know, we try to have a conversation with him all the time, and it doesn't become a debate. It becomes him talking about something that's always the same every day, no matter what the subject is. But I don't want to talk about CJ. Thank you very much for the call, Bill. You know, Sandy, again, at the root of all of this is whether or not this is public theater this time, but the way Republicans are talking, this might be the time that they do. And so, you know, what purpose will they garner from shutting down the government?
Well, I think theater
is a winning proposition.
Well, I think theater is what the hard right has developed as their raison d'etre. You know, Lauren Boebert and these people are doing things simply because it is notorious. And by notorious, I mean achieving notoriety. And they're following in the footsteps of Donald Trump. Donald Trump's, he obviously found the key to political success, which was notoriety, daily notoriety, and each day more notorious than the
next.
Doesn't
matter what you're notorious for.
No, and never talking about real policy, only talking about the things that are wrong with the country and not proposing policies to solve what might be wrong for the country. And so, you know, that's why I would ask, I asked CJ last week, if you win, you know, if the Republicans win, what are the five top things on the plank that they have to improve the lot of Tom, Dick, and Mary in this country? And I would ask him again that question if he were on the line.
He is on the line.
I think the problem with what's going on in the histrionics, meaning the theater of politics in Washington, and particularly on the right, the people who are trying to be notorious is they are proposing nothing in the way of policies to improve the situation. You can talk about cutting expenditures. Well, okay, which expenditures and what is it going to do to the programs? And let's talk about what we need to talk about for the future of America. What is that going to do to the youth of America if we don't fund child daycare? What is it going to do to the youth of America if we don't spend money and effort on solving for education for America? What is it going to do to the future of America if we don't solve for the problem of student debt? You know, what is it going to do for America if we don't solve for the problem of health care? Okay, that's what we should be worried about, the future of America. And if people want to talk about the deficits, they ought to, and they ought to roll up their sleeves and figure out which things in our vast expenditures need to be curtailed and which ones need to be protected. And those people are going to need to focus on the Defense Department if they roll up their sleeves.
You know, Sandy, but to say that the answer, the solution to these issues is just cut spending is just a ridiculous statement of itself. Right?
Absolutely. In fact, people who would invest in corporations, I guarantee you that Warren Buffett would never invest in a company in which all he would do when he entered the company was cut expenditures to improve the bottom line. Cutting expenditures to improve the bottom line is a short-term policy, and it's the kind of policy we've criticized Wall Street for focusing on because it ultimately destroys companies. You can't just cut expenditures. You have to make investments in the future, whether it be marketing, whether it be investments in capital, there need to be investments in the future. And so government expenditures in other countries are viewed as community investments in the future of the community, and they aren't viewed as a place for the provision of handouts to people, okay? And so we have this outlook that when government expends money, somehow it's handing money to people, and it's not. It's investing in the future of the community.
You know, Sandy, you say it so eloquently, and you know, even if you were right now in Congress, you'd get the same response from the people there.
Crickets.
They've got the same kind of, they'll be giving you the same kind of response that CJ gives you. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You can join the conversation. We'll be right back.
I'm Captain Ann Maxson with the Wisconsin State Patrol. Safety on our highways is a team effort. Every day, our troopers and inspectors focus on keeping people and commerce moving safely. Drivers can do their part to prevent crashes and needless tragedies by remembering two simple things. Buckle up, phones down. Thanks for helping us move towards zero deaths on Wisconsin roads.
A safety message sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
100 degrees.
Ramaswamy literally said global climate change, human and effect climate change is a hoax.
Ron DeSantis effectively pivoted on the debate stage, said, I'm not going to answer your damn question because it will expose us as climate change denialists, which puts them in a minority, certainly with younger voters. Young people care about the future of this world, Don.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Krebs Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it
squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Kreutz.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with highs around 69. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows level off around 51. Tonight, cloudy. Slight chance for scattered showers. Tomorrow, 69. Overcast skies. Upper 70s Wednesday and Thursday, with a chance for scattered thunderstorms Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Somewhere that should be for all the world to see, a statue of a fool made of stone, an image of a man who let love slip through his hand and then let him stand there all alone. So build a statue and oh, so the world can see, then inscribe the world's greatest fool and name it after me.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, those terms that are being thrown around and the impact of those terms to the day-to-day lives of the citizens.
Yeah.
Can you explain?
Well, yeah. First of all, when GDP is gross domestic product. So gross domestic product is the sum total of all of the money, essentially all of the revenue earned in the economy. So doctors' earnings and General Motors revenue and all of that, that's all the gross domestic product. And so that's essentially like the income in a family, okay? The income to the country is its gross domestic product. Right. And if the country's going to pay for something, like if it's going to have to pay taxes, it's going to pay it out of its gross domestic product. And as a percentage of the gross domestic product, the national debt essentially is the mortgage that the country owes. And so in 1990, the gross domestic product, or the national debt as a percentage of gross domestic product, was 40%. Now it's 120%. So over that period of time, you know, this is a comparison that you don't have to look at real dollars. Right. You can just look at the comparison between income, earnings, and debt. The debt has gone way up as compared to earnings.
Three times in 30 years.
And it was at its highest point in Trump's last year. It got to 120%. It dropped 5% down to the 115% range during the Biden period. And that has to do with the growth of GDP as much as it has to do with the size of the deficit that was added. The fact is that the size of the Biden deficit each year has been smaller than the size of the deficit. If you look over the period from 1990 to the present, the only time that the percentage has gone down, the percentage of the national debt as compared to the GDP, was during the Clinton years when he was having actual surpluses, not deficits. And so what does that do? When you have that big debt overhang, it means that you'll have less money to spend on things other than the debt, because the national treasury is going to have to service that debt. And if the interest goes up, the servicing of that debt, paying the interest on the debt as well as paying it back, is going to take a bigger piece out of the national treasury and out of the national budget than it would otherwise. And so it has a potentially depressing effect. And there is obviously a finite limit to how much debt you can have. Several years ago, Greece and some countries in Europe went off the chart with respect to their debt, and their economy suffered very terribly. So we do have to look at this. We have to think about it. We have to realize that we're getting closer to some limit because we're flying up in terms of the percentage of GDP that we have debt. The edge of that envelope is unknown. And the unfortunate thing is you don't find out where the edge of the envelope
until
is
too late.
Until you breach the envelope, okay? So that's the issue. And so we need to address it. We need to think about it. Washington needs to get responsible. But responsibility does not mean just taking an axe to expenditures. It's not the notion that we can cut every budget by 15% and leave the defense budget alone and somehow solve something. And incidentally, that number is far more than 15%. If you want to like balance the budget, oh my goodness, what you would have to do to programs if you left the Defense Department out of that analysis to get from where we are today to balanced budget without increasing revenues would be cataclysmic.
So you aren't saying that the point that the Republicans are attempting to make is one that is needs to be discussed. Your thing is put all the chips on the table.
Absolutely.
And not just find the weakest.
Well, not just attack it by talking about expenditures. We have to cut expenditures. Okay, which expenditures and how much? And what is the target? What's the end game here? Are we trying to get to balanced budget? I would say it would be irresponsible. We don't need to get to balanced budget. We need to get to smaller deficits so that as our GDP, if so long as our deficit grows more slowly than the GDP, so then we will have a decreasing percentage of our GDP as debt. So we can continue to have deficits. It just needs to be smaller than the growth in our GDP year on year. And if we do that for a number of years, we will, over time, materially reduce the percentage of our national GDP that is our national debt.
See, Sandy, that's the part of it, I think, that most of us, you know, who didn't have economics to the degree that you had, don't get. We just hear these things, and Republicans can continue to say, hey, and CJ, Joe Biden spent all that money, and that's why we're where we are now.
Well, you talk about expenditures. You need to talk about which expenditures and what were they for and what were the investments in and how sound were they. And if you're a party that has $7.5 billion worth of earmarks, which are probably none of them investments in the future, but rather investments in getting reelected based on sort of pork that can be brought back to their constituents— you know, we need to get responsible. And the way we get responsible is to talk lucidly about facts and not generally about stuff, okay? And talking about expenditures is basically trying to paint the U.S. government as Jabba the Hutt, drooling and just sucking food from everyone, okay? And the government isn't Jabba the Hutt. The government is the people's source of helping the Commonwealth and making the investments in the community.
Only Sandy can weave in Jabba the Hutt. anyway, we got to go. Thank you, Sandy, as always. Thank you, Calvin, and thank you to the listening audience. Moves too fast. We'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later. Hey,
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, That's design.garden.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.